Welcome! You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
One of the biggest problems across the country is the good government watchdogs that watch over ethics and lobbying and transparency and spending, like the auditors general. They can find people guilty of breaking the rules. None of them have the power to penalize them, politicians and people in government. It's only lobbyists that face penalties for violating their laws in some jurisdictions. It's a major, major flaw. Essentially, you can face a higher penalty and a higher chance of getting caught for parking your car illegally anywhere in Canada than a politician would face for breaking the most fundamental good government ethics rule.
That's the voice of Duff Conacher, founder of Democracy Watch. On this week's show, we speak to Duff about the Beth Voter scandal and other scandals that have wrecked the nation, and what we as Canadians need to do to hold those offenders to account and improve our democracy. So stay tuned. I wish we could somehow find a way to shut down the corruption and pork barreling we see from our politicians, and it just intensifies that cynicism that most Canadians think of when they think of the political system, which is very dangerous for our democracy. This week, once again, we see a politician, Bev Voder, on a European conference. She upgraded from a 4-star hotel, took $1,000 a day limo service, all at taxpayers' expense. And only after when she was caught did she agree to pay the money back. Meanwhile, her department's preaching austerity, cutting millions from the budget. On the line to speak about this, I have Duff Conacher. Duff is the founder of Democracy Watch, and he's online to speak about this. Welcome to the show, Duff.
Thank you very much.
Now, Duff, just briefly, what is the mandate and function of Democracy Watch, in case our listeners don't know?
Democracy Watch is Canada's leading democratic reform, good government, and corporate responsibility organization. And since 1993, we've been leading the movement to make Canada the world's leading democracy, and have won 110 changes to federal and provincial laws so far, most of them at the federal level. And most of them in the good government area, but about 30 of them in the corporate responsibility area. And we have another 100 changes to win in the government area and another 35 changes to win in the corporate responsibility area. The most systemic changes to make everyone in government and business effectively required to be honest, ethical, open, representative, and waste preventing.
Now let's speak about systemic changes, because the government would say that this Bev Voder scandal is just a one-off. Come on, she's apologized, she's going to pay the money back. But is this a one-off? Can you think of, just in the last 2 years, some of the other kind of precarious spending that's gone on?
Well, the biggest one is the jet purchase of the F-35s, where the government went ahead with what they claimed was a $15 billion contract that they didn't have a bidding competition for. They handed it to one company, Lockheed, and it turns out actually it's $25 billion at minimum, likely more, and the Auditor General says all sorts of rules were broken. So that's the biggest one, because it involves literally tens of billions of dollars. And many rules were broken. As well, Tony Clement, a couple of years ago, when there was a G8 and G20 conference in the Toronto area, broke all the rules, and he essentially diverted $50 million of spending that was supposed to be spent on border security and diverted it to his riding north of Toronto, and to projects in local municipalities that were far away from the G8 conference site. And they were building things like gazebos and little parks in these municipalities in his riding. And it was a straight-up slush fund, and all the rules were broken in that one as well. So those are two big ones, one involving tens of millions and other involving tens of billions of dollars. And it shows the clear need for stronger spending rules and stronger enforcement and penalties in this area. Because if you can get away with breaking all the rules and handing out tens of billions of dollars. I mean, what, you can get away with anything pretty much.
Now, on that same vein, when these things happen, Duff, the worst result is that many Canadians become very cynical. I was having lunch and I was reading the newspaper about the Bevota scandal, and the server says, it makes me mad as hell, she should be fired, but nothing will happen. And that just scares the heck out of me, that these things just intensify that cynicism towards politics. So what can Canadians do? What needs to happen right now when we're facing a majority government that just kind of is behaving in this way?
Well, people should write letters. I know it's very easy to say about anything. Any action that's positive, I'm just one person, and if I do it, it's not going to make a difference. You know, people say that about recycling. No, what does it matter? Whether I throw out my plastic bottles rather than recycling them, because, you know, I'm just one person, doesn't make a difference. But, of course, if millions of people do that, it makes a huge difference, because you have a ton of plastic that ends up in the oceans and ends up in landfills and all that could be recycled. People say, what does it matter if I buy plastic bottles in the first place? When, you know, if I stopped doing that, that wouldn't make much difference. But it will if millions of people do it. So that's the same thing, unfortunately, that people say about writing letters to politicians. They say, I'm just one person, I won't write the letter. So if a million people all assume, I'm just one person, I won't write the letter, a million letters don't get written. So you can't assume that no one else is going to be writing the letter. Assume that others are going to, and take the time to do it. It's very simple. It doesn't cost anything. You don't have to put a stamp on. And all you have to do is put the postal code K1A0A6, which people should remember stands for kick one ass, or about six, and send a letter off to the party leaders, your MP, and the Prime Minister. And they will all get it. And if you say, I won't vote for you in the next election, if you don't clean this stuff up or make whatever change that you're seeking, they will listen, because voters get them into power and voters throw them out of power. People who switch their votes, they're very worried about, and it doesn't take many letters to influence them. And people have forgotten that, and unfortunately, I have to say, a lot of activists have said, don't bother, you can't ever change things. And have encouraged that inactive behavior, and, you know, telling people essentially to go watch Oprah and lie on the couch and just be frustrated by this stuff instead of becoming active and changing it. If enough people write letters, politicians will change right away. And that's why we started last year, Democracy Watch started the Coffee Party movement, coffeeparty.ca, for people to hold coffee parties and write letters to politicians. If everyone spent as much time writing letters to politicians in Canada as they spend buying, making, and drinking coffee, we would have the democratic good governments we want and the responsible big businesses we want. But people don't. They unfortunately have become cynical, and they should instead just be skeptical. And it's always good to be skeptical, because that means you're still turned on and you're watching and you're engaged and you're pushing. It's when you switch over to becoming cynical that you are really shooting yourself in the foot. You've just created a vicious circle from which you won't escape, because you've turned off, but politicians are still there with the power to impose things on you. And when you turn off politics, that's when politicians turn on you the most and start imposing things that you really don't want, because they know you're not going to show up in the ballot box and throw them out, so they can do whatever they want. So, number one, just write the letter once a month. Pick an issue, learn about it, write a letter.
You're quite right about that, because I was at a conference, or I guess a meeting, about the tragedy of what is our salmon run here, and people were quite upset about these fish farms. And while I was there, they asked everybody in the audience to write a letter, and a month later we had the Cohen inquiry. I'm not sure if the letter writing did that, but the government felt the pressure, and they say for every one letter it represents 500 constituents. So you've made some achievements.
That's a bit large, actually.
Is it? What is the ratio?
Yeah. Politicians have been surveyed on this, and they say that they view it as representing about 25 people.
Okay, I'm exaggerating.
Because people generally have 25 people in their social circle that if they really care about something, they'll mention it and be able to convince 25 others, and that there are 25 others out there in any case that would agree with every person who sits down and takes the time to write a letter.
Right.
So,
well, let me use the number 2500 to get more people writing letters.
No, but 25 is enough, right? Because there's right now, for example, federal conservatives, they have a 14-seat majority. Those 14 seats were won by 4,200 votes. That's a pretty slim. That's 4,200 people out of 20 million people who can vote in federal elections who determine whether the conservatives have a majority or minority. So that's how dangerous cynicism and apathy is, because that allows parties to get majority power with only 4,200 votes.
Right.
And they could be swung the other way. So that's the number one thing. Just do not, never think, oh, I'm just one person. Because if a million people think, oh, we're all just one person, a million people don't do something. And if they had instead thought, wow, there's probably 999,999 other people who are going to do this as well, then the million letters get sent, and that's how you change the direction of any government and any corporation as well.
Absolutely. And I also say when election time comes around, also put pressure on the party that wants to take power and get clear answers as to what are their policies going to be. Don't just have hope that they're going to do the right thing, but push them. Now, we spoke about this before.
Yeah. And also vote, or in a few provinces, you can actually decline your ballot. People don't know this. It doesn't exist in BC. It's in Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario. But show up and spoil your ballot. At least.
What would be the point in that, though?
Sorry?
What would be the point in spoiling the ballot?
Well, spoiling ballots are usually because of mistakes, and there's usually about, in a province the size of BC, there's usually about 3,000 to 4,000 spoiled ballots. But if it was 35,000 to 40,000, then politicians would know something's happened here. People have come out and said, because you can't reject decline your ballot in BC. You can't come out and sort of positively decline it as a vote of saying none of the above. But if suddenly spoiled ballots jumped by 100% or 1,000%, you would see people take notice. And it's very discouraging when it comes to election time. You know that every party is lying about part of their platform. That's been shown by every party across the country for the last 145 years. And sometimes there isn't one party that you can really feel like you support out of all the parties on the ballot. But if you stay at home, then they know you really don't care, and they don't care about you. If you do not show up and vote, there's no politician in the country that cares about you. They say they care about you, but they don't really, because you don't determine whether they stay in their job or not, or whether they stay in power or in opposition. So show up and do something. With either spoil or vote for one party, because if you don't vote, you don't count.
I also feel, Duff, that local, not just federally, but local elections have a huge impact on federal policy. I'll give you an example. This week, 7 BC mayors signed a petition to decriminalize, including Vancouver and Burnaby, to decriminalize marijuana. Now, this is clearly a federal issue, but here's 7 BC mayors challenging that law. So if you want to speak about the importance of local politics and how that affects the national.
Well, very much so. Obviously, there is a separation in terms of the powers that federal, provincial, territorial, and municipal governments have. But everyone needs to be involved in any issue in order to push it along, and municipalities can always pass resolutions. And mayors can always speak up, either individually or with others, or nationally through the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. And they can have an enormous effect, because what politicians provincially and federally know is that mayors and council members are influential in their communities. And so when they speak out, they can turn the tide in a provincial or federal election. Actually, I think we saw evidence of that in Alberta, where the mayors of Calgary and Edmonton raised concerns about the proposals that the Wild Rose Party was making. And I would say, and I've heard pollsters say as well, they believe that that had influence, because those mayors are well-known and high-profile in the province and had influence outside of their municipality, because they received provincial media attention. And that helped turn the tide against Wild Rose in the last few days of the election. So, everyone has to be involved and engaged, no matter what level of government they're at, can be engaged in issues that are under the control of other levels of government. Again, you know, if anyone who refrains from speaking out on an issue that they're concerned about in some way or another is essentially giving over their power to someone else. And I understand the frustration. There's been lots and lots of frustrating situations. But most of them, the tide could have been turned if those people saying, my letter won't make a difference, would actually just sit down and write the letter. I mean, come on, it takes 10 minutes of your time. Drink a coffee, don't watch Oprah or anyone else, and don't be on Facebook and surfing. Instead, write the letter. Send the email, even. I mean, they count them all. Emails now, it's this clicktivism, it takes you 5 seconds to send off a letter. But it's not as effective as writing your own. But it's still at least doing something. And, you know, people who have turned off politics and complain about it only have themselves to blame, because if they would just write the letter, things would change.
You're quite right about that. I see so many people just texting or just blogging on stuff and spending a lot of time online anyway. Why not just spend a few minutes doing a little citizen activism online? And certainly, even if you hear something on the radio or watch something on TV you find offensive, I fired off letters to the CRTC, and I always get a response. It forces the companies to respond to you, so it's always a worthwhile task. Before I let you...
No, and when I said they only have themselves to blame, yes, voters are victims. We have a system that is bad in a lot of ways, in part because it allows everyone to act dishonestly, unethically, secretively, unrepresentatively, and wastefully, everyone who's in government. And we have a voting system that gives majority power to parties that win a minority of votes. And we don't have an honesty in politics law, so they can lie to get into power. All of that's true. But if you act like a victim and just say, oh, the system has me, then you are just essentially condemning yourself to that victimhood instead of empowering yourself, writing the letters, and you'll see the change. The opposition parties are looking for ways to get into power. So if they see people pushing the government and the government not responding, and a lot of people pushing, then they will adopt those platforms and policies because they see a way of distinguishing themselves from the government in the next election and getting into power themselves. Now, they may be lying too, and that is frustrating when the opposition picks up on those issues and lies about them and gets into power and doesn't do anything. But if enough people push, you eventually will win in every case in a country like Canada, because we do have elections where people have to win votes in order to get into power. We should have a different voting system, so they'll have to win a majority of votes to get into power, but they at least still have to win votes to get into power, and that means that we still have power over them.
I'll put you on the spot then. We're talking about voting systems, and the worst evil of this first-past-the-post system, I feel, is the lesser of two evils, voting. I just wish people could vote their conscience and would have a more proportional system. Do you think that could become an issue in the next election? Like you said, first a party would have to win a majority, then they would have to put it on the table as an electoral reform issue. Do you see a possibility of this in the future?
Oh, the possibility is definitely open still, despite the disappointments in British Columbia and Ontario and PEI. And unfortunately, all of those proposals had major flaws, and changing the voting system in some ways won't necessarily make things entirely better. And those flaws were built in and turned enough people off, at least in the second referendum in BC. I mean, it actually did pass in the first referendum, so it shows that the support is there. The NDP federally have it as their party platform, and all the party leadership candidates endorsed it, changing the voting system. So I expect they'll continue to make it a priority. The big question is whether they'll do it if they actually break through and win a majority next election. One would hope they would keep that promise. They'd be silly not to, because it's a major change that will definitely make things better and would set the precedent in Canada for other governments to follow. In most parties' long-term interests, to do this, because it actually leads to better government, and that's better in the long term for politics and politicians, because they're all kind of caught in a silly game now. I mean, they can't feel good when they wake up in the morning and look at themselves in the mirror. They really can't. I don't believe they do. I think a lot of them feel very guilty about the game that they constantly play. If they don't, they're in some ways a bit psychotic, because it is a psychotic game that they're playing. And the voting system is part of that psychosis that they have to buy into in order to prosper as a politician in Canada now, because of our voting system. Except in the territories, of course, where there aren't parties, for example, in the Northwest Territories, and they operate by consensus. I'm sure the politicians have a much better time there in their day-to-day lives in the legislature, because they are operating in a way that leads to compromise and more public interest decisions.
Now, before I let you go, how can people engage with Democracy Watch? Or you mentioned a coffee break or something. What's the best way to plug into you guys?
Coffeeparty.ca will take you to a page on Democracy Watch's website, or goodgovernment.ca, democracywatch.ca. We're on Facebook as well, and we have action alerts in a whole bunch of issues, including in this issue of spending. And I should just mention, again, in the spending area, we need to close loopholes and rules so you can't hand out contracts without a bidding competition. We also need the Auditor General having to give pre-approval to large spending items, and also there are no penalties. That's one of the biggest problems across the country, is the good government watchdogs that watch over ethics and lobbying and transparency and spending, like the Auditors General. They can find people guilty of breaking the rules. None of them have the power to penalize them, politicians and people in government. It's only lobbyists that face penalties for violating their laws in some jurisdictions. It's a major, major flaw. Essentially, you can face a higher penalty and a higher chance of getting caught for parking your car illegally anywhere in Canada than a politician would face for breaking the most fundamental good government ethics rule. That's a perverse system, because obviously parking your car illegally almost never causes any harm. But when they do this act dishonestly, unethically, secretively, wastefully, and unrepresentatively, they do enormous harm to society, and yet there's no penalty for doing it. So the only penalty would be if the Prime Minister fired you, which a cabinet minister from Quebec, Christian Paradis, he gave preferential treatment to a lobbyist who was just found guilty a month ago. There's no penalty. And Prime Minister Harper has said, well, I'm not going to fire him.
Incredible.
So that's perverse, because if he parked his car illegally in Ottawa, he would get a ticket and have to pay a $40 fine. So there's a higher fine for parking, you know, 2 minutes over the meter, and that's the same across the country, than there is for any politician violating the most fundamental ethics rules.
Well, this is incredible. And
it is incredible, and that's one of the things we need to clean up. Until we clean up politics, we will not have a clean environment. We won't have clean communities. We will not have good education until we have good government. We have to push on these issues, because politicians will not address people's concerns as long as they can't be held to account when they don't, and when they protect themselves and their friends and their party supporters and reward them instead of protecting the public interest.
Thank you so much, Duff, for joining us, and well said. And all of those things are achievable by us, the citizens, in demanding better. And I thank you again for spending a few moments with us.
My pleasure.
Okay. Bye for now.
Take care.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.